Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've had a rehearsal earlier. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
We had a few hallelujahs. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Very good. 10 years I've been trying this. 10 years. How joyful it is to come and to celebrate the good news of God's love. We are called to be Easter people and a call to worship written by Karen Turner, creator of life, in raising Christ Jesus up through, out of, and beyond the chains of death. You open for us the way to eternal and abundant life. May our hallelujahs on this day float high above the ceiling of what we think we know and transcend to the heaven of what we believe and live. Rise us up, renew our lives, resurrect our dreams through Jesus Christ, our living Saviour. Amen. And so we will raise the roof and the hallelujahs as we sing number 689, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Yeah, not bad. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. When the day is quiet and the world still sleeps, and the morning is crisp and love breathes again, We praise you, O God of resurrection. When the time is now, and the moment is on us, and the place is here, and the grave clothes are folded, we praise you, O God of renewal. When the day is new, and the sun is fresh, and the light is clean, and the stone has rolled, we praise you, O God of empty tombs. Now we see the world differently. What we thought was the way of things yesterday is no longer the way of things today. Death was yesterday. New life is today. Tombs were sealed and now they're open. Love was dead, now is alive again. Death has been given a makeover. Endings have a new perspective. Things work differently now. When the shouting has stopped and the suffering ended and the betrayal complete and the darkness stolen, then we praise you, O God of life. O God, with faces touched by the light of a new day and hearts warmed by our prayers and praises, we come before you to pray for the needs of our world. Into the light of Easter morning, we raise those who are struggling with illness, with despair over their lives, or with the breakdown of relationships. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of Easter morning, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty and need are the experiences of everyday life. Lord, as we celebrate this morning, we can't help but think what is going on in the Middle East. And so, Lord, we raise them up to you. We raise up the conflicts. We raise up the leaders. We give thanks for the peacemakers and the aid workers. Lord, we think of Ukraine and Russia. And we pray as always, Lord, God of miracles, for a miracle to end the conflict, to end the hate, to end the fear. For all places, Lord, and we could name so many in our hearts. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into this light of Easter morning, we bring the headline news of this weekend. We think of people in our own country. We think of the riots and the knife crime and all the things that spread bad news, that sell papers. Because, Lord, good news doesn't sell papers. We hold in our hearts the pain of those suffering violence, bereavement or conflict. And we pray that the light of Christ would shine upon them. And into the light of Easter morning, we bring ourselves, the private struggles, the heart's yearnings, the hidden dreams, the unfulfilled potential. May the light of Christ shine upon us. And Lord, because we come this morning to give you thanks and praise, because we have a reason to worship, because we have a reason to be thankful, we pray the prayer that our living Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue in our worship as we sing number 295, I Serve a Risen Saviour. Well done to those of you who hit that note. If I hit that note, I would be silent from now onwards. Hallelujah, you all say. So wonderful, isn't it, that we can come this morning and to really celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But sometimes, don't you think we get a little bit familiar? We know what's going to happen. We believe that Jesus was resurrected. He is the resurrection and the life, as he told us himself. But sometimes we lose the poignancy of the event as we read the readings, as we hear about the grief-stricken women who loved their Lord so deeply. They'd witnessed Christ's excruciating punishment and death. They had been prevented from anointing his body due to religious restrictions. But as we're going to hear, their hurting hearts and the hungry love they had for their Saviour caused them in the early hours of the morning to rise while it was still dark, we read, and hurry to the tomb to anoint his body with sweet perfume. But how their love was rewarded when they heard those earth-shattering words, "He is not here, he has risen, just as he said." So I'll ask Dot if she will come and give us our reading, the bit that I haven't done already.
The reading is from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10, and in the Pew Bibles it's on page 1000. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen.
I think in Matthew's description of the events of that first Easter morning, we get the reality, don't we, of the resurrection, the earthquake, the angel, the empty tomb, all demonstrate that Jesus has physically risen, proving his victory over death and validating all of the promises that are yes in Christ Jesus. And we see that transformation, don't we, from fear to joy. The women experience a mix of emotions, and the angel and Jesus both command them to not be afraid. I often tell you, do not fear, do not be afraid, 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the week. It shifts the focus of the fear of death to the joy of new life, and that's what we'll reflect on shortly. But first, we're going to sing number 453, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." I've just told Nigel it's my favourite. Don't mess it up.
Jesus.
Let's pray. O risen Christ, open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear it proclaimed anew this day, that we too might rise to new life in you. Amen. Fear and great joy. Matthew paints a vivid picture of the events of that first Easter morning. This period of Lent, as I've been saying all the way through, has given me permission to absorb myself in the accounts of the events of this precious time and place myself, particularly this morning, into this account. So I invite you too to place yourselves in this encounter. The first Easter morning began with running feet and trembling hearts. Do not be afraid, the angel tells the women that first Easter morning, for he has risen as he said. This is what today is all about. Not just today. We're going to live this for the rest of our lives, aren't we? I'm sorry, aren't we? The angel's message to those women on that first Easter is God's message to us today. Do not be afraid, for Jesus has been raised from the dead. Easter means that Jesus is alive, and that means that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Easter makes it possible for us to live our lives unafraid. Not, as you're probably thinking, what, Sharon, what are you talking about? Not by removing our fears, but by transforming them. How is that possible, you are saying? How is that possible? How, Sharon? How, Sharon? That's good. So let's join those women who remained courageously faithful. We've just heard read to us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, possibly the mother of James, had every reason to be afraid that morning. A man that they admired and loved and whom they'd hoped was their long-awaited Messiah was dead. And he had died in the most cruel and awful way imaginable. He had been crucified. You can imagine the questions that are going through their heads. What did his death mean for them? Would they come for them next? We know that the apostles, the disciples, were so afraid that they locked themselves away in the upper room. But not these women. They approached the tomb that first Easter morning, no doubt with fear, but also with courage. Are you there? Can you see that picture in your head? Imagine what it would have been like when they arrived at the tomb, only to find themselves in the midst of a great earthquake. I didn't pray for an earthquake this morning. You'll be pleased to hear. An angel of the Lord descending from heaven. His appearance, it says, like lightning. And the guards trembling and becoming like dead men. No wonder the angel begins by telling them not to be afraid. Don't know about you, but that's sensory overload for me. But do we really think at that point that their fears were suddenly removed? Or that their fears were transformed. No longer afraid perhaps of the guards or the Roman authorities, but now afraid of God's awesome power that's just been displayed right in front of their eyes. The women are now filled with holy fear, the fear of the Lord. It says that they were leaving with fear and great joy, and that's the detail that stood out to me. The way that Matthew describes the women as leaving the tomb with fear and great joy. Doesn't that combination feel a bit strange? Have you ever been fearful and joyful at the same time? It's usually one overtakes the other, doesn't it? You're in fear and then suddenly it's great joy. We imagine that if joy is real, fear must be gone. And if fear is present, then joy must be weak. But Matthew doesn't separate them. He places them together in the same heart, at the same moment, on the same road. And that made me reflect and ask why the resurrection of Jesus would produce both. And I think the content that we read, that Matthew explains to us, helps us to see it more clearly. Those women had come to the tomb in a moment of grief. They weren't coming with the expectation that Jesus would be alive again in front of them that morning, even though he said he would be. We read there's a great earthquake, an angel of the Lord and the guards trembling and becoming like dead men. And the angel says, don't be afraid. So when Matthew says they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, this wasn't shallow excitement. They had just been brought face to face with the power of God, the truth of Jesus' words, and the elimination of the finality of death. That's why they left with fear and with great joy. Their fears, simply put, were not erased, but they were transformed. Their fears contained great joy. It became fearful joy. And that's what God wants for us today, a fearful joy or a joyful fear, a transformed fear that is now filled with great joy. Not a Good Friday fear, but an Easter fear. Not a crucifixion fear, but a resurrection fear. Not a fear rooted in despair, but a fear that is rooted in faith. A fear that has passed through the very worst of life can throw at us, and is now it's mixed as a fear with a joy that nothing in life can take away from us. We remember those words from Paul, nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, etc., etc. As we were thinking on Friday, when we saw love poured out, the resurrection of our Lord fills us both with a holy fear, reverence is a better word, and a heavenly joy. A joy that nothing in life can take away, because it's a joy that is based on that wonderful Easter morning, focused on the display of God's awesome power. That is the true gift of Easter. It makes it possible for us to live life unafraid. The Easter gift of joyful fear rolls away the stone from whatever tomb we find ourselves in. Their fear was not the fear of unbelief alone. It was a holy trembling before a reality that was bigger than themselves. It was the joy of discovering that Jesus truly was who he said he was. The fearful joy of Easter is not found by escaping our lives. It's found by experiencing Jesus' presence in the midst of our lives. And what jumped out to me during my reflection in verse 9, Jesus met them on the way. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read passages that are quite familiar, I skim through things. I used to be an auditor. I can read things very quickly, pick out the bits I need and move on. But when you read it slowly and carefully, Jesus met them on the way. And it caused me to pause. It seems important. Why would Matthew include it otherwise? The women were already responding to the message that they had received. The angel had told them to go quickly and tell his disciples that he had risen. So they were moving in faithful obedience when Jesus himself met them. He didn't wait for them at the end of their journey. He met them on the way. And I think that seems apt in our resurrection faith. Easter means not that just that Christ is risen, but that he is with us now and always, wherever we find ourselves. Easter means that we can expect to be met by Jesus in places where we least expect to find him. For Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that place was his tomb. But what about us? Where do we least expect to find Jesus? Christ does not only stand at the end of obedience as a distant reward. He often meets his people in the path of obedience itself. When Jesus appeared to them, his first words was greeting. I don't know about you, but if I'd expected Jesus to be dead and he suddenly greets me with greetings, I don't know how I'd feel. But then we read they came up, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. When I think of those women taking hold of his feet, I visualise Mary of Bethany, another Mary. So many Marys in the Bible. Who wasn't present at that time, anointing Jesus' feet and wiping them with her hair, signifying her deep love and worship. Taking hold of his feet is especially important because it shows that, again, that the resurrection wasn't merely symbolic, that it was inward or imaginary. Matthew presents the risen Jesus as truly present and bodily risen. That same Jesus who had been crucified is now alive in victory over death. And their response was worship. Matthew doesn't describe them as merely startled or relieved. He presents them bowing down before Jesus. The resurrection isn't only the proof that life continues. It's the public evidence of Jesus as the risen King who is worthy of our worship. And then Jesus himself says, "Do not be afraid," and sends them again with a message, as we read, for his brothers, probably meaning not just his remaining disciples, but a larger group of followers. The women began with fear and great joy, and Jesus meets them not to shame their trembling or to steady it. He directs them away from that paralyzing fear into witness. Essentially, resurrection joy doesn't make people passive. It sends them. Those who meet the risen Christ are entrusted with the good news for others. I think this passage helps us to reevaluate the way we sometimes imagine Christian joy. We often speak of it as of real faith, always calm and neat and emotionally settled. But I think Matthew gives us something more honest. I think that's quite reassuring for each of us when we have our fears, when we're afraid, when things aren't going as we thought they would. These are the moments when the truth of Christ is so great that it shakes us and comforts us at the same time. The women were not emotionally accomplished. They were overwhelmed, yet they kept going. And on the road, Jesus met them. That encourages me because it means the Lord doesn't want us to sort out every feeling before he draws near. He meets trembling people, he meets joyful people, he meets people whose hearts are carrying both. And that fits, doesn't it, the resurrection itself. The resurrection is not a small encouragement added to ordinary life. It's God's declaration that sin and death do not have the final word over his Son. It's the beginning of the new creation breaking into history. In him, trembling and joy meet. And so as I reflected on this encounter, I don't primarily see an example of emotional balance to copy. I see what happens when ordinary followers are confronted with the risen Jesus. They become worshippers and witnesses and people whose fear is no longer empty fear, but transformed by his holy presence. I think that gives gentle hope to those of us who still come to Christ with mixed hearts. We may come with questions, weakness, grief, or trembling. But if Jesus is risen indeed, then our trembling doesn't have to drive us away from him. It becomes the place where joy begins and where the risen King meets us on the way. Today we celebrate much more than an empty tomb. In fact, we celebrate even more than the resurrection of our Lord. We celebrate and give thanks for his living presence among us and his promise, as we read at the back end of Matthew 28, to be with us always. Wherever our journey takes us, our risen Lord goes before us. Wherever our fear is, Jesus is there, just as he promised. Easter is about Jesus coming to us in the midst of our fear and our dread and our despair to give us renewed courage and hope and joy. The greatest of all fears is the fear of death, and our Saviour has conquered that. There is no place that we can go where Jesus has not already gone. He has literally gone to hell and back for us. He is with us now. So what do we need to fear? For Christ is risen. You've got one more go to get it right. Let's pray. God of creation, creating anew, the silence is broken. With the women in the garden, we catch our breath, wipe our tears, and try to articulate our experience with you. What words can describe shadows fleeing from the tomb? How can we tell of the morning, the world turned upside down? No mortal words will do. Still, we must spread the news. Christ is risen. Our needs are weak from running. Our voices tremble on the edge of fearful joy. Our eyes have seen the glory of the Lord released upon the world. May every breath we take, every word we utter, everything we do, witness to the truth of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Amen. And so we join with our Christian sisters and brothers as we celebrate Jesus' glorious resurrection, and we sing hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ is risen. Yes. Let's pray. As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may the same Christ, who lives forever and is the source of our new life, keep our hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. Amen.